Showed his mom, showed his dad this Renault car. It had a sunroof, one of the first ones, so this is dating the story. But as the guy tells the story, he says that on the way back home, he was driving on the freeway and just minding his own business, listening to the music, and all of a sudden, this drunk man walks across the freeway, and so he did what some of you would do, which is what? Run over him. No. Well, probably he would not have been hurt, but this guy swerved, and because of the short wheelbase, the car rolled 134 feet. However, he went 143 feet, either through the sunroof or through the back window. But as he tells the story, what he says is, why did that happen to me? I mean, why me? He says, I graduated from high school after 4 years. I went to college for 4 years. I'm in the graduate school now, ending my third year. One little quarter left of 2.5 months. And then the accident. So he says, why? Any of you ever asked that question, why? Well, I'm going to give you 1 minute to leave if you've never asked the question. But I think maybe all of us will be remaining, because here is what we've done. Would you read with me on the overlay? We've all been down Y Street. Are we there? Okay, we've been there. And you've been down, go with me now. Why Felicac Avenue Boulevard? Why, that's right. And why up? Okay. And what have you learned? Why not street? Okay, and continue. The most uttered word in every illness, catastrophe, setback, disappointment, heartache, accident, etc., etc., is why. And of all the problems in the Bible and in our life, the suffering of the righteous is the most severe. Like, if God takes care of his own, why do they suffer without apparent reason? And when we talk about suffering, we're not talking about just sickness and disease. We're talking about emotional problems. We're talking about stress at the work. We're talking about relationships with your spouse or with your children. We're talking about all the things that just come against us in a negative fashion, and then we want to know why. So as a springboard, I've chosen several scriptures to read. The first one comes from James. It reads like this. This is one of those I don't like. Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Then the brother of Jesus continues on down and he says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. But God cannot be tempted for evil, nor does he tempt anyone. I guess that puts it pretty much in concrete that when things occur to us, we can't say, God, you did it. But what I can say to you people is this, that through it all, we can learn to trust in Jesus like never before. And that the bad that comes to us may not be so bad at all. For example, the other scripture that I like comes from Genesis. Genesis has many, many verses. Does anybody know how many verses Genesis has in it? Very good, very good. And Bonnie stayed up all night counting them, I think. Okay, but this is my favorite verse of the 1,000 whatever. Joseph said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. So what I'm saying is, first of all, bad things are not punishment from God, as some suppose. There's a lot of theology in this world today that says, you know, God did this and God did that. But what I'm learning is this. God, as we read in the scripture from James, God is not causing this, but there are times people when God allows it to happen for one reason or another. Now, a lot of the things that go wrong that make me say, why did it happen to me, is because of my own selfishness, my own sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. You reap what you sow. But there are other times when things come to us from Satan. Some of you might remember the story of Job. Satan had no power over Job until God said, it has to pass through my hand. It has to pass through my hand. Didn't cause it, but he allowed it. So last week when I say why, now I say, well, why not? Why not? All bad things are not punishment from God as some suppose. And I really don't care if you remember much that I say between my four points, but the points are so important. For example, if you will read with me Luke 13:4. Together. And those 18 in Jerusalem the other day, the ones crushed and killed and fell on them, do you think they were the worst citizens than all other Jerusalemites? Now here's a story where Jesus is saying, you know, you heard the news report last week, you read in the Jerusalem Times, this huge tower just fell and it killed how many people? 18 people. So a great example. The master says, now listen to me, people, as he would say to his disciples and the people there. Do you honestly believe that those 18 people upon whom this tower fell were the worst of all the people who lived in this metropolitan city of Jerusalem? And the answer is what? No, not at all. When the World Trade Center's tower fell, do you think everybody there was the worst? Were bad people? No, well, there were some bad people there, okay. Morally wrong, morally bad, true, and morally good. They were the good people in terms of going to heaven, and they were the bad people who have not accepted Jesus. So when the tower fell, Jesus would be saying, do you think that everybody there was bad? Of course not. So the bottom line is, bad things are not punishment from God, as some suppose. But the three friends of Job lived under that type theology. They believe this, for example, that suffering is the result of sin, that God punishes each little act of sin with a corresponding penalty, that suffering, therefore, is necessary evidence of personal guilt. But I guess Job proved different, didn't he? So please don't believe the lie that some is circulating now, which says, well, if you have proper faith, then you're not going to suffer. That's just a lot of you know what. Look at John 16:33. Read that to me, would you? Trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace in the godless world. You will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. So Jesus is saying it's so clear to us people. In this world, and you are in this world, you're going to face difficulties. You're going to face these issues that are going to make you say, why, God? You may fall on your face, pound the ground, and say, why? We hope to answer that as we go on. So if we can establish the fact that not bad things are punishment from God, as some suppose, the second is this. Both the good and the bad suffer. Both the good and the bad suffer. I guess the experience and the endurance of Job proved that a suffering situation would include this, that the innocent suffer in this life as well as the wicked, and suffering might be used as a means of demonstrating the faith of the Christian, certainly extending the influence of this individual with his family. And when it's faithfully endured, it does defeat Satan. Praise God for that. Now, in the case of Job, we mentioned that several times, it was not an insurance policy that he just took out in case it happened. He had it when the difficulty did occur to him. As a matter of fact, starting Tuesday at 2 o'clock, the fear group that Nancy and I take care of will be beginning a series of 3 months into the book of Job and looking into very critical scriptures about why. The good and the bad suffer. You know, I think that you may agree that sometimes we suffer because of somebody else's mistake, the mistake that somebody else makes. If an airplane pilot is making a mistake and plane crashes, then all of the people are going to suffer from his mistake, which leads me to say that if you belong to the human race, you must then, therefore, accept the penalty that might come to you as a member of the human race. 1 Peter 4:12. Read. Friends, when life gets really difficult, Don't jump to the conclusion that God is on the job. I have trouble sleeping. Any of you have trouble sleeping? A few of you, okay. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep. It's 24/7. He's on the job. 24 hours. Of course, there's no time with God anyway, but he's just there all the time. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And that puts my mind at ease to know that he is on the job. So Peter is saying, friends, when life gets really difficult, and it does get very difficult at times, he says, don't jump to the conclusion. Well, God's out taking a siesta or something. He's not on the job, but he is there. And with that comes the scripture we read earlier, and you can read with me too, James 1:12, that says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So we receive the crown of life when we experience these difficulties that come our way, people. And again, God doesn't cause them to. God is good. He's good. He cannot produce evil. However, he does allow sometimes these things to happen. So the third point is this, and this is a good one. All bad things are not bad things. When are we going to ever learn this? That all bad things are not bad things. Say that. All bad things aren't bad things. You take the guy that had the accident on the car. He's speaking to you now. He said, why did it have to happen to me? He had to go back to the graduate school in New Orleans, and he was there for 2.5 more months. But at that time, the Lord sent Nancy down from St. Louis, Missouri to meet me. Had I gone, she would have come, and we would have never met. So I think after 40 some, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know how many years, we can say it is good, and we can say what you said a moment ago, and your ears heard your mouth say it, all bad things are not bad things. That's what Romans 8:28 says. Some of you know that verse, but if you don't, you can read it to me. How does it go? That's why into something good. Trust me in that. Trust Paul in that, if you will. Tomorrow, amid your problems, tomorrow, amid your pain that you're going to have, trust God in that it is going to work together for good. I mean, that's the promise in God's Word. And Pastor Duncan has told you many times, this is God's Word, and we can believe what we read or what we hear. I think of that guy that was painting on the scaffold his work, and he was just painting, doing a really good job, but he was getting awful close to the end of the scaffolding. His friend on the other end saw him and wanted, he knew that if he said anything, the guy would probably fall. So he took his paintbrush and he flipped it over against the guy, hit the painting that he was painting. Immediately the guy realized where he was. Now, when he first saw in the split second that his painting was being ruined, he probably said, W-H-Y. But then, of course, he knew that if he had fallen, he would have been injured. He may even have suffered death. All bad things are just not bad things. I don't know when we're going to learn it. Let me illustrate this. Does anybody happen to have a piece of cloth with you? You got a piece of cloth? Get in. Thank you very much. A piece of cloth. Now, you know what I need next, don't you? Yeah. Now, if we have security to get into the church, as we have an airplane, air terminals, you wouldn't get in. But does anybody have a pair of scissors? Well, you wouldn't get through security. Thank you very much. Now, watch closely, people. If Disney can make a mouse talk, I can make this cloth say, oh, ouch, ooh, ugh. But you know what? If we carry this illustration farther, we have needles, we have thread, we have patterns. We come up with something that you can wear, ladies and gentlemen. So the cloth may say, oh, this is so bad, this is so bad. But you know, it's not bad. What you're going through right now, some of you are going through some, I've gotten 35 emails in the last 3 days from people all over the world. You will not believe what these guys and gals are going through. And you too are going through a lot of bad issues. But you've got to believe. You've got to believe. The fourth point is this, and I don't know how we're going to learn this, but there are blessings in suffering, people. their blessings and suffering. Philippians 3:10. You're getting good at reading. Let's try Philippians 3:10. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. That's the way the Messenger reads, and it's really cool wording. But those of you who are locked into King Jimmy, let's read the next one. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made into his death. You see, it's a school, people, that Jesus actually set up. He set it up with a curriculum. And the curriculum is this, that as we go through these things, there are blessings that we receive, and there are blessings that we can impart to other people. Unlike the Dead Sea, which receives and receives and receives, and does not give, give, give. God is asking for you to realize that through your blessing season, God is going to bless you. He's going to bless other people through you. Satan does not want us to have that victory at all. The little piece of wood that complained bitterly that it was being whittled upon, after a while became a flute, and then it was a blessing to a lot of people on the stage. So you see, we're here for a purpose. You see, people, that we're here with our suffering and with our pain, and we're here to know that whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. That's a scripture that's really heavy. But whom the Lord loves, he does chasten, because he loves you. He loves you dearly. And he's proved it's possible to go through the suffering and endure it and graduate to be an overcomer. Yet Satan does not want you to have victory at all. That scripture that I just made mention to, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. I guess that's something that would lead me to say that suffering is not an indication of God's disfavor, people, but it's a sign of God's favor, of Almighty God. So when life sends you this place this week, and it's going to come your way, there are going to be misfortunes, there's going to be distresses, there's going to be problems, there's going to be heartache, there's going to be all kind of bad things that we would call bad happening to us. And you're going to say, why? But would you quickly add to that the word not? Just why not? Because I believe, I trust God that through it something as good is going to happen. We get all this stuff pushed upon us. We've got to do something with it. I hate to ask this, but does anybody have an oyster's like or a pearl, an oyster or a clam look? Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Very good. Excellent. Well, you know what I need next, don't you? A grain of sand. Anybody, anywhere. Oh. Okay. How's that go? Down deep in the sea. Okay, we'll put it in the sea. Some teenager tell me what I'm about to say. I'm not a teenager. Young adult, come on, you know what I want to say, don't you? You've heard the story. Surely you've heard the story. You know about the oyster and the grain of sand. Pastor Duncan? Nobody knows the story. Nobody knows what happened. The bottom line, people, is simply this. You can take that grain of sand that Satan is going to flip on you this week, and you can be made bitter or you can be made better. You can put it inside your life, and you can let it grow with all of the saliva and the tears and make something beautiful out of it if you want to. Here's what I've learned in 50 years of ministry, people. The first thing is this. There's a freshness. There's a string of gratitude that just seems to rise up in a relationship to God. And the next one about things we learn. Number one, a freshness that can be this experience of a relationship with God. My relationship to God has got closer and closer and closer when I've gone through the heartaches and the problems and the difficulties, people. And the second thing is simply this: the deepening of the well of sympathy toward other people. I don't know how many sermons I've given, but it was not until my mom died that I really was able to minister to people who've lost their moms and mothers in death. So the bad experience was good. So what I say is, it's the deepening of the well of sympathy. And the third thing is this: opening a compassion for others. You know, you may not be, but I'm so self-centered. We are living with people who are also self-centered. And sometimes, when we go through difficult situations, it opens a compassion for other people. Then the fourth is this: it gets some people to church that have never gone to church before. In Palo Alto, when I laid on the table and gave my platelets out of my blood to a friend of mine who did not go to church, he received that from me. As soon as he was out of the hospital, he went to church. He was not going to church before, but he did. So it proves the point that it does get some folks to church. Number five, the kingdom of God is extended and expanded. Number six, faith is increased. Number seven, call it kingdom training. There's so many variations of this. And number eight, perhaps, is the most important. That's the experiences with God. The greatest thing that can happen to you this week is to have a fresh, brand new experience with God. And this can happen. We're not forced to do it. But there again, there's the will. You see, what you have to do is to believe in your heart, even though you don't see it with your eyes, what we're going through in suffering. God's there, God's with you, and it doesn't help very much. But this I do know, we conclude in Romans 8:18. And read this with me, would you, and make it your first subscription. I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy with the glory that will be revealed in us. So here's what I'm saying. A self-check attitude in and toward the issue of this week is most important. Is it going to be a plus or is it going to be a minus? Is it going to be victory or is it going to be defeat? Will you, for example, become an overcomer in it or defeated by it? Spiral down or built up? Thing is that God will not do this for us. You see, we are in the driver's seat. So I want you to make people a pearl of your experience this week. And the bottom line is just to have faith in God, have faith in God. And that song that we sometimes have sung, through it all, yes, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Let's pray, Megan.